It's a small thing that we have to endure for the safety of all. So, good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here. I want to thank Pastor Stephen and Unami for entrusting me with a message this morning. And it's so good to be at Wella. It's good to see all your faces. So, this morning, the title of my message is, If You Say So. Everyone say that for me. If you say so. I want you to remember those four words. If you say so. So that comes out of a scripture in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So I'm going to read that for you. And I'm reading from the NLT version. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them there and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Now when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," now you can see exasperation there, "Master," Simon replied, "we have worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "O Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were amazed. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. So verse 5, "But if you say so." So I just want to talk about, this is an encounter that Simon has with Jesus. It's not the first time that Simon has encountered Jesus. He actually encountered Jesus at his mother-in-law's house when Jesus was there and he prayed for his mother-in-law. But I just want to talk about encounters and how they impact us in certain ways. Has anyone heard the name Charlie Taylor? Someone has heard of Charlie Taylor. Well, Charlie Taylor, if you were to ask his friends, they would describe him as a fairly quiet man who enjoyed a good cigar and was mechanically inclined. Some would have considered him a mechanical genius. And like many geniuses, he dropped out of school at the age of 12. He was sort of disinterested with school and he went to work for the Nebraska State Journal. And after working there for a few years in their processing department, he got a job in the binding department because of his interest in mechanics. After working there for a number of years, he met two men, or should I say he encountered two men who recruited him to be part of their company. They recruited him and paid him $18 a week. Imagine if you were earning $18 a week. It's not much these days, but in the 1800s, the late 1800s, that went a lot further than it does today. The two men who recruited Charlie Taylor, you will have heard of. Their names were Orville and Wilbur Wright. They recruited Charlie because of his mechanical ability. They gave him the task of developing an engine that was light enough and powerful enough to actually fly. A few years later, after working with the Wright brothers, Charlie Taylor designed the engine that the Wright brothers used on December the 17th, 1903, to fly 120 feet in the air. That wasn't all that unique, because there were other people flying at the time. The thing that was unique was that they could actually steer and not die when they did fly. because all the others crashed. Charlie Taylor's relationship with Wilbur and Orville Wright changed the course of history. Now, we've all flown in an aeroplane, yes? So without that encounter, we may not have had aeroplanes. If we look back in history, we'll see that there has been many encounters that have changed the course of history. Sometimes good and sometimes bad, but we're going to talk about the good. In 1874, Alexander Graham Bell met Thomas Watson, and soon together they developed the telephone. We've all got mobile phones. Imagine life without the mobile phone. In 1898, Henry Ford met Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison poured into Henry Ford's life in a way where Ford said, "I would never have started the Ford Motor Company if I had not met Thomas Edison." Who's got a car? Imagine if we didn't have cars. Steve Jobs encountered Steve Wozniak in 1970 and begins Apple Computers. Who's got an Apple phone or computer? There's people here that have encountered other people here, and it has changed the course of your life. We can trace back to people meeting a person that has changed their whole entire life. We can see where people have encountered each other and they've partnered together in a way that has changed history for the better. It may have been a teacher at school that encountered you, encouraged you, supported you, pushed you to where you are so that you went and did what you did. It might have been somebody who encouraged you to be a teacher, a doctor, a nurse. It may be someone just encouraging you as a mum so that you didn't give up when you're raising your children. Encounters have the ability to change our lives and change history. Throughout the Gospels, we hear about people encountering Jesus. Some of them walk away sad. Some of them walk away discouraged. Some of them walk away wondering, how could I ever follow this man and do what he has asked me to do? But others have walked away with a unique and new ability to walk. Some have walked away from the demons that have possessed their lives. Some have walked away being able to see. If we were to go back through the course of history, we would see encounters that have changed history and the directions that people's lives have taken. Think of your encounters that you've had with people in your life. I think I'm going to think about an encounter that we had with a girl, 18 years ago. She answered an ad in a newspaper. She came into our world. We're running an alpha course. She came into our world in such a way is that years later, my daughter went to London to nanny for her. That encounter changed our lives, but it also changed the life of my daughter, who now lives in London. So you just don't know an encounter so long ago. You can just put it that, oh, it was just nothing. However, I know that that was a God encounter at that time. The call. Scene one. So here we have Jesus walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He's teaching. We don't know what he's teaching. There was people from the town. They say there was about 15,000 people in the town, and they were all crowding around him. Then we have Simon. He's been fishing all night without success. And then Jesus tells him to get in the boat and to go out to the deep, to let down his nets for a catch. Imagine what Peter was thinking. Who's Jesus? Who is he? What does he do? What does Jesus do? Tell me, what does Jesus do? He's a carpenter. He's a carpenter. What does a carpenter know about fishing? Nothing. Nothing. A carpenter knows nothing. Peter's the experienced fisherman. He's been doing this his whole life. His father was probably doing it. His brothers do it. He knows all about fishing. And here's Jesus telling him to go out in the middle of the day into the deep to catch the fish. You don't fish in the daytime. You fish at nighttime. You don't fish out in the deep. They fished around the shores. But Peter said to Jesus, "If you say so." And those four words changed history. Because what happened? They caught a multitude of fish. It was the biggest catch that they had ever caught. And then Jesus called them to come and follow him. So this is the call of the first disciples. Jesus encounters Peter and tells him not to be afraid because he's called him on a new mission. Jesus calls all of us, but we may not do what Peter did, but it could be just in the simple things of where we're placed in our lives. Slide number two, failure. Don't let your failures define you. Sometimes we can allow disappointments and hurts and failures to define who we are and what we become. Peter says to Jesus, "Master, we have worked all night and we've caught nothing." Peter is frustrated, he's tired, he's weary. He's fished all night, it's proved unfruitful. Why would he want to go out again? When Jesus comes to the shore, Peter is busy. He's not even worried that it's Jesus. He's not even looking up because he's busy. He's washing his nets. He's repairing them. He's getting ready for the next day. Sometimes we can be so focused on what we're doing, trying to fix the things that are going wrong in our world, that we don't notice that Jesus is there. Sometimes we try things as though God is not in our world. Because sometimes things don't work out how we think they're going to. Have you ever tried something and then it's not worked out how you thought? And you kind of wonder, is God there? Did I really do what God wanted? Some of us have maybe lost jobs because we've stood up for what we believe in. When things don't work out how we plan or think, it makes us look inward. It makes us look at our inadequacies. It looks at what we don't have rather than what we do have. What's in your hand? You might think, I don't have anything in my hand. What's in your hand? It could be the gifts and the talents, the abilities that you've got. We have all got something to offer. And it's amazing what happens when we give those things to God, what he does with them. Jesus took a simple fisherman to change and transform history. Sometimes we resist Jesus' claim on our lives because we think that what he's asking us to do is too crazy, too impractical. But sometimes we don't want to trust him. We just want to hang on to what we've got to do. Jesus took Peter out into the deep so that he could be alone, out there in the calm, in the simple. And maybe for the first time in weeks, Peter is quiet. Sometimes we go through things and God wants to call us out into the simple things, into the deep, where we can be on our own, where he can speak to us. Sometimes we kind of busy our worlds because we don't want to hear what God's got. But if you say so. Can you say those words for me again? If you say so. Peter responds to the call that Jesus gives him with four simple words. If you say so. Four words that changed his life and changed history. They're the same four words that could change the course of your lives. We can go around and tell stories. We can go around and think about things in our life where there was an impact and we had an encounter and things changed. We can go back to that moment and say, that's where God intercepted. If you say so. Imagine if Peter had said no. What do you think would have happened? I mean, Jesus would have found, God would have found somebody else to do the work. But would you want to be the one that missed out? There's lots of stories about people. I think the lady that wrote Harry Potter. You know how many times she tried to publish her book and it was rejected? Imagine if you were the publisher that rejected that book. You might be kind of like, we missed out. But number of times, actors who've turned down roles because they didn't think it was the right thing, and then the movie has become a blockbuster. I don't know if I want to be the person that misses out. God wants us to be there, willing and ready, just if you say so. Those four words changed and transformed Jesus. If we only hear the things that Jesus is inviting us to do that we agree with, we may not be listening that well. We've got to give a piece of control away. We have to let go. Sometimes we want to hang on to things so tightly that we don't want to let it go. But we need to let it go and say, if you say so, Lord. We've got to release ownership. We've got to come to the place where we say, I don't get it, I don't understand, but if you say so. For Peter in that boat, it didn't make sense to put down the nets again in the middle of the day, in the deep water, but he said, if you say so. People, we've got to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We've got to trust him with everything. Don't lean on your own understanding. That's what it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Lean not on your own understanding. So don't trust in yourself, because we're going to mess up. His promise to us is that he will make our paths straight. This is the journey that Peter rose on in his encounter with Jesus. You know, that night, because he said, if you say so, Lord, they caught so many fish, they had to rely on others to come and help them. Imagine if we were people that said, if you say so. Imagine what we could do. Could we change this community of Wallard? Could we change the world in the people that we live in, our families, if we were people that said, if you say so, Lord? Imagine your business world, if you surrendered and said, if you say so, Lord, what could happen? What could transform? The call that Jesus has for us isn't always to go to somewhere really crazy, like Afghanistan, or God may not be calling you to go to somewhere weird or far away. Maybe he's calling you just to be present in the community where you are. You know, our theme this year is about discipleship and evangelism. If we don't make ourselves available, if we aren't people that say, if you say so, how can our community be changed and transformed? If you say so leads Peter to a place of blessing. They caught so many fish that day that they didn't know what, they left them there for others to take advantage of, to have the blessing. If you say so leads us to a place of blessing, it leads us to a place of confession, and it leads us to a place of our calling. If you say so, we serve an if you say so God. My challenge to you today is, what's in your hand? And don't look at your hand and say, I've got nothing. But look at what you've got to offer. Are we going to be a people that says, if you say so, Lord? This week, are you going to be a person that says, if you say so, Lord? With everything that we do, are we going to be people that say, if you say so, Lord? What's in your hand? We serve a God that is an if you say so. Are we if you say so people? It could be just even being more involved here in your local community. Serving in our kids, serving with the kids on a Sunday, serving on the AV desk, serving on the worship team, serving on the hospitality team, serving as an usher, serving with the new venture with Port Care. If you say so, Lord. 4 words. Say them for me. Are we going to be people that say, if you say so, Lord? I'm going to leave the altar open, and I'd love to pray for you. Pastor Stephen and Pastor Yunami are here as well. We'd love to pray. But that's my challenge. What's in your hand, and what have you got that you can say to the Lord, if you say so? Worship team, Elta.